know where to start here. There's too many films to talk about. Do you, you've been a digital guy from the get-go, right? Whatever that, when that came, you didn't, you weren't a film holdout, were you?
Well, I wouldn't say from the get-go, but I've shot five films
now.
Right. But you were resistant at first?
Well, I mean, when did it start? I mean, people started shooting digital before I did, but I didn't think the cameras were really up to it at that point. But it wasn't a matter of being a holdout. I was just waiting for a camera that I felt was equivalent or better than, or gave me more options than film. And that wasn't until, you know, a few years ago.
Have you tried or sampled the... is it called the Aeroflex Alexa? The
one that, Alexa is what I shoot with all the time. Yeah, I think
that's all pretty, the time.
Yeah,
it's common.
I haven't shot with another camera, the Alexa, but there's now the Alexa. There's a new Alexa come out, Alexa 65.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, I've not been shooting with that. I've been shooting with the Alexa, Alexa Plus and the Alexa Studio. Yeah, the Alexa 65. It's just started shooting movies on that. Some movies on that.
Emmanuel Lubezki.
Yeah, he was doing some of Revenant on it, wasn't he? Yeah.
Some?
Yeah, he didn't shoot all of it, no. So there's a couple of films that have been shot on it entirely, I think, yeah.
Do you know which ones?
There was one shooting in Atlanta recently. They said everything was going to be on the Alexa. They had like...
65, you mean?
6 or 10 cameras down there, yeah.
And that the characteristic of the 65... is, I gather, extreme sensitivity to light. You know, you don't have to really generate any light of your
own. Basically the same sensor as the standard Alexa. It's just a bigger sensor. So you're getting more information because the sensor's bigger. You got a higher pixel count, yeah.
Okay.
And you get the depth of field and that whole sensibility of a large format camera.
Right.
You know.
So, when you start out on any film, do you like to find your way into the emphasis, the aesthetic of the, you know, that something that blends with and kind of enhances the story, or do you decide in advance where you're going to go and stick to that? In other words, I got a very bleachy sun-filled feeling from Sicario.
Well, right? Yeah, in part, yeah. I mean, you know. You know, everything is, it's much more of a process. I mean, I never lock down a look. I mean, obviously, I read a script and I wait till I discuss something with a director.
Right.
And then it gradually evolves, you know, in pre-production, in scouting locations, talking about the sets and the scenes. I mean, with Denis, we spend quite a lot of time just going through the script and just discussing it and just figuring out how to translate it visually, you know, which is a great process. I love that. But then, you know, things can change right on the day. So to me, it's a much more flexible, fluid process than saying, oh, this is the look of the film. And, you know, I mean, I remember once years ago with the Coen brothers, we were shooting Fargo and we had done what you were implying. We'd sort of had this fairly dogmatic idea of what we were going to do. We were going to shoot it in a style of Ken Loach, you know, where you put the camera in a corner of the room and everything becomes, you know, observational in a way. And, you know, the first shot we did was a 110-foot tracking shot, so that went right out the window straight away. But the concept still remained. The film, you know, you watch the film and it is more observational than any other film they've done. So, you know, you have the concept that you can break. There's no hardened rule. It's just...
I'm trying to think of what the 110-foot tracking shot in Fargo was. I remember when Steve Buscemi gets beat up by the Indian guy.
Yeah, I think actually it was him. It was Steve going through the snow to hide the suitcase of money along his fence line.
Yeah.
I think it was something like that, I think. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Well, how about with Hail Caesar? Did you try to make it look like it was shot in 52, 53?
Yeah, it was delicate. It was a sort of balance, really. The guys didn't want to completely emulate that style. They wanted to feel contemporary. But yes, on the other hand, we cut wide at times to see these stage sets wide enough to see how they're lit. So all the lighting had to be hard light, which is not something normally I would probably do. I would have did it differently. So I was lighting it in the style of the way they lit in those days with a lot of the lamps they would have used in those days. But the lighting, if you analysed it, wasn't exactly what they would have done necessarily. Actually, there's one scene where probably it was what they were doing. It was a very hard light scene where the scene was partly shown in camera. The scene was black and white. So when you see the film within the film, it's black and white. So we were trying to, kind of emulate.
It looks absolutely black and white. Delicious.
It's
every single scene I saw the trailer.
Wow. Yeah, it's kind of fun. Yeah, it's good. And it was, it was a real joy to shoot because there's so many different elements and different looks within it, you know. But you still had to string them together. And we're just doing the DI, you know, the final timing. And Joel and Ethan came to watch it the other day. And it was really nice because Joel said, you know, it really hangs together. That's just what we were trying to achieve, which is a unity of the whole movie. But within it, you see all these other movies, you know. So that was good.
I would love it if, just for the sheer pleasure of it, if they could just platform it this year, and then I know they're going to release it in February.
February. It's going to Berlin, I think, or something.
What?
I think it might go to Berlin or something.
Oh, I'm going to Berlin.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I might go if it goes. Actually, it'd be fun.
So what's coming next?
I'm working with Denny on, actually we've just been storyboarding. I'm really in Montreal, we just came down for a couple of days for this. I'm working with Denny doing
another one,
a sequel to Blade Runner.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah.
Now you have to adhere to that, right? You can't make your own thing.
I refuse to comment.
Well, people are going to be going, come on, this is, you know, we want Rain, we want that whole...
Well, you'll have to wait and see. It's a film to itself. You've still got, you know, I mean, Blade Runner was a long time ago, so you've still got to make a film that stands by itself for anybody that never saw the original and knows nothing about it. So,
certainly.
You know, the film is still, in that sense, a film by itself, you know. But yeah, obviously it's, yeah.
And that's all going to be shot in Toronto, for the most part.
I don't think I can talk about it yet, but no, it's not going to be shot in Canada.
Do you have any idea where it's going to be shot? Around here?
Probably
maybe,
somewhere in Europe, but it's a matter of stage space and things now, you know. So much of stage space is taken up by...
Incidentally, was telling me, I was at the Savannah Film Festival very recently, and he told me that Atlanta is really quite the hub now in terms of...
It's very busy, yeah. It's very busy.
Tax breaks and...
Well, yeah, and they've got a very big studio complex there, which is great.
Pinewood, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Is there another couple ones besides Pinewood?
I haven't actually seen Pinewood. When we shot Prisoners down there, we weren't really on stage very much, so I didn't really see them. But they say that Pinewood is really great. And there's these other facilities where they mainly do television. There's a lot of TV series shot down there. So it's very busy down there, yeah.
Yeah. I of course remember that when I remember my first time in Prague in 87 was my first time, but by the time I got back there in 92, that was quite the hotbed. Cost effective.
Yeah.
And then Romania for a while.
Yeah, it kind of floats around, and you know,
where the hot places are.
So
is it Atlanta again right now?
No, but I won't say where it is, but it's not Atlanta now.
There's a secret place that's the best.
No, it's not a secret place. It's just I'm not really allowed to talk about the movie actually, so in any sense. So.
But you are inclined. You guys are inclined to go over to Europe for Blade Runner. You're saying.
No, we'd like to stay here in LA. Quite frankly, that would be the ideal. But I'm not sure it's going to happen. In fact, I'm sure it's not going to happen. it's just cost. You know, it's just cost.
And I won't pester you about
good.
The script or anything.
Well, you wouldn't get anywhere.
I don't know. I guess I'm trying to... Here's what happened with Sicario. I don't know if I'm sure you're familiar with the Grand Lumiere in Cannes.
Yeah.
The theater. They have a real problem with sound, in my opinion. And it's not just my opinion, but Todd McCarthy's and others. It's boomy and bassy. And you really do miss a lot of dialogue.
Oh, right.
And I couldn't hear,
oh, right.
Literally.
Really?
I was very happy when Benicio's character was shown, because at least I had subtitles and I could put some narrative words together.
Wow, really?
I couldn't hear a damn thing. And it was like, you know, that bassy.
Yeah, that
finally,
can go off.
Lisa Tabak said, please come and see it again. Of course I want to see it again. And I went to the CAA screening room, and every syllable and consonant was perfectly clear.
Oh, good.
And then it opened up to me. Then I realized, ironically, that it's more of an atmospheric immersive thing than anything else. Because, frankly, I thought that Emily's... Why am I just blanking on her name?
Emily Blunt, yeah.
I'll cut it out. I just lost her last name. She's so... Benicio gets the nature of the game all the way through, and she keeps talking about protocol and the way it should be, you know. And you kind of say, well, is she going to have a breakthrough here, or is she just going to stick to protocol all the way through? She doesn't really have a breakthrough.
Right. Yeah.
But I love Benicio, and I love the whole feeling of it.
Yeah.
And I started to realize it's really one of the more penetrating atmospheric...
Yeah.
In a way, almost more so than... Or certainly equal, competitive with Traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Your expression grimmed up when I no.
Grimmed up in what way? No, not really.
Because
okay.
I was I'm totally doing a thumbs up on it, but it all changed at CAA.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, a lot of the time you watch a film and the projection's bad and you're I don't know, your feel towards that film is sullied by that initial reaction, isn't it?
Right.
You know, it's hard to watch a film a second time and feel fresh. Yeah.
You don't want to be struggling.
No.
To hear it,
but I mean, I think the point of Emily Blunt's character, Kate, in the film is that she's kind of a stand-in for the moral majority, if you like, for the audience, for the moral majority that would say, no, this is right, these are the parameters, you know.
Someone's got to be the straight arrow. And
yeah, really, and yeah. I don't, you know, that's, yeah.
Right. But then she needs to blow off steam, and she picks up a guy who's of Latin descent. That's not the smartest thing. I was kind of scratching my head about that one. You know? Saved by Benicio, of course. Anyway, I'm now on the page.
Yeah, it is kind of a mood piece in many ways.
Yeah. So who is, as to your knowledge, still hardcore shooting on film? What is going on?
Shot on film. Hail Caesar's on film. So.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, that's the first one I've done for 5 years.
Oh,
actually.
That's great.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, we did Skyfall, and the two I've done with Denny were digital. But yeah, Hail Caesar was a film.
Oh, that's wonderful.
But I mean, it's wonderful. I mean, I think it looks all right, but we had a lot of problems. We had a lot of technical problems because, you know, basically the infrastructure is just, you know, going away, you know, and all the great timers and lab technicians now are moving on, or they've retired, and so I don't, there's just not the service anymore.
And 35mm color is now processed mainly at Photochem here in Burbank, right?
Yeah, that's the only real lab in LA, yeah. And you know, you've only got, what is it, 3 or 4 film stocks now instead of the range you used to have, and everything's getting very limited, really.
What was the finest film stock that you like to work with that is no longer available?
Well, Agfa went out of business many years ago. Kodak just undercut them and put them out of business years ago, basically.
Okay.
I really liked Agfa film stock. But say that was like, what was that? That was 1992 or something like that, you know, a long time ago. But no, Kodak film stocks. It is fantastic. I'm not bad-mouthing them. It's great. You know, just the whole process of film and development. It's, you know, it's an out-of-date technique, and the digital technology has now advanced so much. It just gives you so many more options, really. That's the... I mean, when we did Skyfall, I noticed they shot Spectre on film again, but that was Hoyt's choice, I guess. When I shot Skyfall with Sam, you know, I was... you know, I was split between it, but we had so many low light situations, and you know, I shot a lot of tests, showed them Sam, and we said no, the advantages of shooting digitally, you know, just that snap, that crispness of an actor's eye, you know, that was great, you know.
Have you, just to jump back for a second, have you seen Hail Caesar in its entirety? Is it completely done?
We've just got some effects shots to time that we're just struggling with, but yeah, basically it's done, yeah.
Hmm. It struck me, I mean, I absolutely was delighted by the central conceit of the Jewish communist lefties actually being the malevolent forces.
I love that that whole plot point. I think it's really funny, and you know, the idea is that, you know, this actor defects to the Soviet Union and gets on this Russian submarine off the, you know, coast of California.
Right.
And but the idea in the movie is that gradually that reality becomes a movie within, you know, as well, you know, that fiction, and so we tried to do it in a way that gradually it becomes a film set, you know what I mean? But I think it's successful. I hope people don't think, oh, that's just, that doesn't look real, but there's a point it doesn't look real, you know what I mean?
Who do you most hold in the highest regard amongst your peers? Do you have two or three that you are particularly...
Cinematographers?
Yeah.
I mean, Chivo for sure, you
yeah.
know. Greg Fraser. Yeah, I would say. I mean, there's many, many more, but in particular, I think their work is pretty extraordinary, yeah.
How about Richardson?
Bob, yeah. I mean, I know Bob. I haven't seen him for years, but I know him quite well, yeah. I mean, he's done some wonderful stuff. Yeah, I know, absolutely.
I'm very, very high on what it's going to look like is... It's
that 65, yeah, and showing 65 as well. That's in 100 theaters. Did you know that they've paid a huge amount of money to get 165? I think it's 110, 65 projectors all over the country to project this film in its original format. You know. Yeah, okay, but I'm you know.
It's more of an indulgence, isn't it?
I'm not a techno freak, you know what I mean? I don't really have any particular, I mean, I've shot on film for most of my career, but I don't, you know, it's not what that's about. It's not about film, it's not about digital, it's about the image and telling a story. And I the technique for me is like, I don't mind if it's shooting Super 8, it doesn't, you know, if it's right for the movie, if you tell the story, you know, that's fine.
I saw a documentary on Super 8 about John Mellencamp.
Oh, yeah.
About 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was just tedious.
Oh, was it? Well, yeah, but it's not the format. It's how the people use it, isn't it? You know. I mean, the thing about digital, I think it's misused so easily. I mean, most of what I've done, it's shot just like film, you know. You don't keep the camera running, you set up for a take and that's it. Everybody concentrates for that moment, which is the glory of film, that it concentrates everybody on the set on that moment, because you can't just keep the camera on. But now, you know, when you hear of directors just letting the camera run and run and run, and they end up shooting millions and millions of feet of film, and I don't see how they can really focus on what they want. You know, and that's what happened, certainly what happened in documentary. I mean, I shot documentaries for years, and when that gradually changed over to shooting video, people would just go off and shoot everything that happened in a situation, but they wouldn't edit in their head, they wouldn't think, what do I need to tell the story? They would just cover it, so you end up with a sort of amorphous mass, you know. And that's not the way to make a film, whether it's documentary or it's fiction, I don't think.
You're kind of out of the documentary market now, right? Kind of,
yeah, I have been for years. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, no one could ever get you to do a doc, could they? Given your options.
No, maybe. Well, maybe sometime, but when I get older. But no, not now. I'm too busy and too happy shooting features, you know. But I still have a nostalgia for shooting documentaries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you actually live?
Santa Monica. Yeah.
above, somewhere above Montana, I'm guessing, right?
No, we live in Ocean Park.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's great. Nice neighborhood. It's south of the pier. It's really, it's really relaxed and, it's really nice. It's a mixture of people who live there, you know, architects, painters, and, you know, people, some people in the music industry and, you know, just people, you know, it's great. It's nice.
Yeah.
I used to live
in Venice when I was married.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we were sort of, close.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. Been there, I guess, 26 years now, yeah.
Can I get a shot of you?
Sure.
The light's hitting the side of your face, so that's kind of what I like, so. Albert, you can stay in the shot if you want. And, okay, man. Thank you very much for your time.
Oh, yeah, pleasure.
Very nice speaking. Right. I'll be at the lunch.
All right, great.